Hey, it's Jacob Goldstein from Business History. In our new series, American Genius, we tell the stories of three great writers who changed the way business works in America. Our first episode is about Benjamin Franklin, who, among many other things, was a best-selling business writer. Take a listen.
He's writing this much later in his life, consciously creating this image of himself. And I do want to emphasize how unusual this model is at the time, this self-made man myth, because you don't want to be self-made. It's low class to be self-made. You know, this idea that we have today is the opposite, right? And it comes from Franklin. Today, there is the derisive term nepo baby.
Well, exactly right. And these days, if you are a billionaire, you had better have a Benjamin Franklin story about starting in a garage, coming up with the idea from nothing.
And here is Benjamin Franklin inventing it right before our eyes.
This has been brought to you by Odoo. To listen to more of our American Genius series, listen to Business History. New episodes release every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get your project started right with our huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, from installing a walkway to setting a post. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
The property had belonged to Brent's family since 1887. That date was not a guess or a piece of family folklore that had been blurred by time. The original deed still existed, preserved with old photographs, letters, military papers, and other pieces of family history that had been passed down through generations. Brent's great-great-grandfather had purchased the land after arriving in Georgia, and from that point forward, the property became more than a place where people lived. It became the center of the family. For more than a century, almost every major family event seemed to lead back there. Children were raised in the old house. Weddings were celebrated beneath the trees. Summer reunions filled the yard with cars, folding chairs, food, arguments, laughter, and cousins who disappeared into the woods until someone shouted for them to come eat. Brent had spent much of his childhood on that land, and for a long time he thought of it as one of the safest places in the world. Now it was being sold. The decision made sense even if nobody liked it. Brent's grandmother had been the last person to live there full-time, and after she passed, the house sat empty more often than not. Repairs became expensive, relatives moved farther away, and the property slowly became too much for the family to maintain. By the time the sale was arranged, everyone understood it was probably the right thing to do. That did not make it feel any less final. On a warm Saturday morning, Brent drove out to help sort through what remained in the house. Several relatives were already there when he arrived, carrying boxes from closets, wiping dust from old picture frames, and making piles of things to keep, sell, donate, or throw away. The work moved slowly because every object seemed to come with a memory. A fishing pole reminded someone of a trip from the 80s. A chipped casserole dish brought up three different versions of the same Thanksgiving argument. A shoebox of photographs kept everyone gathered around the dining room table for nearly an hour. That was where the conversation changed. Brent's cousin Rebecca had been flipping through pictures from a reunion in the late 90s when she paused over one photograph longer than the others. The picture showed a crowd of relatives standing near the barn, most of them squinting into the sun and smiling with paper plates in their hands. Nothing about it looked unusual to Brent, but Rebecca's expression shifted in a way that made him notice. When someone asked what she was looking at, Rebecca hesitated before saying the photo reminded her of the stories about the woods. The room became quieter almost immediately. It was not dramatic. No one gasped or looked frightened, but several relatives exchanged the kind of glance people share when a conversation has wandered somewhere uncomfortable. Brent had seen that look before at family gatherings, usually right before someone changed the subject. This time, Aunt Linda spoke first. She was one of the older relatives, and if anyone knew the family history, it was her. She said Rebecca was probably talking about the figure people used to see near the tree line. She did not say it like she was telling a ghost story. She said it like she was referring to something everyone already understood. Brent realized then that several people in the room did understand. He did not. As the afternoon wore on, the stories came out in pieces. Aunt Linda told them about being 16 and helping her father carry supplies back from the barn when she noticed someone standing at the edge of the woods. At first, she thought it was a neighbor. The property was rural, but it was not completely isolated, and it would not have been impossible for someone to wander close enough to be seen. But the longer she looked, the less it seemed like a person. The figure was tall and still, positioned between the trees as if it had been waiting there before they ever noticed it. It did not wave, walk away, or step forward. It simply remained where it was, watching from a distance. Aunt Linda said what frightened her most was not the figure itself, but her father's reaction. He did not call out to it or tell her to stay behind while he checked the woods. He told her to come inside immediately. He looked, she said, as if he already knew what it was. Rebecca had seen something similar years later when she was around 12. She had been near the back of the property, close to where the woods thickened behind the barn, when she saw a tall, dark figure standing between two trees. She remembered it being too still. That was the detail that stayed with her. Even at 12, she knew people shifted their weight, turned their heads, scratched their faces, or reacted in some small way when they realized they had been seen. This figure did none of that. It stood there watching her until she ran back to the house. By then, Brent was listening more carefully. He had grown up hearing vague references to strange things on the property, but he had always assumed they were ordinary family ghost stories. Every family had them. Every old place collected a few. What bothered him now was how seriously everyone seemed to take these sightings, and how little anyone wanted to laugh them off. An uncle remembered seeing the same kind of figure beside the barn one evening after a reunion. Another relative had seen something standing near the garden. Someone else mentioned a dark shape at the end of the upstairs hallway, visible only for a moment before it was gone. The details changed from story to story, but the shape of the story remained the same. The figure appeared at a distance, watched silently, and disappeared before anyone could get close. Then Aunt Linda told Brent the part that made the room feel colder. Her father had warned her not to acknowledge it if she ever saw it again. She was not supposed to point at it, call out to it, or follow it. Other relatives admitted they had heard versions of the same warning from parents or grandparents, though no one seemed to know where the rule had started. It had simply been passed down quietly, the way families pass down recipes, superstitions, and things everyone accepts without fully understanding, and if you saw the figure, you left it alone. By early evening, most of the relatives had gone home. Brent stayed behind to lock up and finish loading a few boxes into his truck. The house felt different after everyone left, quieter in a way that made the property seem much larger than it had during the day. He stood on the porch for a while, looking out toward the yard, the barn, and the darkening line of trees beyond it. He told himself the stories had gotten into his head. That was the reasonable explanation. Then, just before he turned to go back inside, Brent saw something near the woods. At first, he thought it was a trick of the fading light, a tree trunk maybe, or a shadow falling strangely between branches, but the shape was too tall, too straight, and too separate from everything around it. It stood exactly where the others had described seeing it, motionless at the edge of the property. Brent stared, trying to decide whether someone was really there. For one brief moment, he felt certain the figure was staring back. Then he blinked, and it was gone. He stood on the porch a long time after that, listening to the evening settle around the old house, finally understanding why so many people in his family had spent years wondering what they had seen. The following week, Brent found himself thinking about the property far more than he expected. The practical side of the sale continued moving forward, relatives called with questions about furniture, old photographs, and family heirlooms. Documents needed signatures, arrangements had to be finalized, and there always seemed to be one more task demanding attention. Yet no matter how busy he became, his thoughts eventually returned to the same place. He would catch himself replaying the stories Aunt Linda and the others had shared, and before long he would be remembering the figure he thought he saw near the tree line. By the following Saturday, he was back at the property. The house felt noticeably different without the rest of the family there. During the previous visit, every room had been filled with conversation and movement. Now the old place stood almost completely empty. Sunlight streamed through bare windows, and the absence of furniture made the rooms feel larger than Brent remembered. For the first time, he found himself noticing details that had always escaped his attention. Every creak of the floorboards echoed through the house, and every room seemed filled with the weight of memories. Most of the morning was spent sorting through boxes in an upstairs bedroom that had gradually become a storage room over the years. The room contained decades of family history packed away in cardboard containers and old trunks. There were photographs, letters, school records, holiday decorations, and enough forgotten keepsakes to fill several lifetimes. As he worked, Brent found himself lingering over the photographs. Most showed exactly what he expected. Family reunions, weddings, Christmas gatherings, and countless ordinary moments stretched across generations. Then one photograph caught his attention. The picture appeared to have been taken during a reunion sometime in the early 1970s. Several relatives stood in front of the barn, smiling toward the camera while children played nearby. At first glance, nothing seemed unusual. Then Brent noticed a lone figure standing near the tree line in the background. The person was too far away for details to be visible, but the figure stood apart from everyone else as though observing the gathering from a distance. Curious, Brent continued searching. An hour later, he found another photograph from what appeared to be the 1950s. Once again, family members were gathered outdoors. Once again, a solitary figure stood near the woods. By now, Brent's attention was fully captured. He searched through every photograph he could find. Most contained nothing unusual, but several revealed the same unsettling detail. A distant figure near the woods, a dark shape standing beside the barn, someone positioned just beyond the edge of family gatherings, always present, but never participating. When he finally leaned back against the wall, the stories he had heard the previous weekend felt much harder to dismiss. Later that afternoon, he moved on to an old wooden trunk sitting against the back wall of the room. Inside were journals, letters, and family documents that had likely remained untouched for years. Most contained the ordinary concerns of daily life, weather, crops, finances, illnesses, and family news. One letter immediately caught his attention because of the signature at the bottom. It had been written by the man who originally purchased the property. Brent carefully unfolded the fragile paper and began reading. Most of the letter was entirely unremarkable until a single sentence near the bottom stopped him. The man near the woods was there again today. The line appeared without explanation and seemed to carry no special importance. In fact, that was what made it so unsettling. Whoever wrote it apparently assumed the reader already knew exactly who he was talking about. Brent read the sentence several times. The word "again" stayed with him. The figure wasn't being introduced. It was simply being mentioned, as though its presence had become routine. For the first time, Brent began to wonder if the stories were even older than his family realized. Maybe the figure wasn't connected to the property because of something that happened there. Maybe it had already been there when his ancestors arrived. The thought followed him downstairs as evening approached. Outside, the familiar landscape stretched before him, exactly as it had for generations. The barn stood weathered but sturdy, and beyond it the woods formed a dark line against the horizon. Nothing appeared unusual, yet Brent found himself looking at the property differently now. The stories, the photographs, and the old letter all seemed connected by the same thread. As the sun dipped lower in the sky, he sat on the porch and looked toward the trees. The warning his relatives had repeated echoed through his thoughts. Nobody knew where it originated, yet everyone seemed to agree on one thing. If you saw the figure, you left it alone. For the first time, Brent found himself wondering why. The question lingered with him long after he locked the house and headed home. By the time he pulled into his driveway, he had already made his decision. Before the property was sold, he was going to spend one final night there. He wasn't expecting answers, and he wasn't looking for proof. He simply wanted to know whether the figure that had haunted his family's stories for more than a century was still standing somewhere among those trees. Deep down, he suspected it was. Brent arrived at the property just before sunset, feeling slightly foolish about the overnight bag sitting beside him in the truck. More than once during the drive, he questioned what he was doing. If someone else had told him they planned to spend the night in an empty house because of a family ghost story, he probably would have laughed and suggested they find a better hobby. Yet the closer he got to the property, the more he realized that wasn't really why he was there. The photographs were real. The letter was real. The stories had come from people he trusted, people who had never seemed interested in attention or trying to convince anyone of anything. For most of his life, the figure near the woods had existed as little more than a family legend. Now it felt like something else, entirely. The story stretched back across generations, and for the first time, Brent found himself connected to them. As darkness settled across the property, he carried his things inside and locked the front door behind him. The old house felt surprisingly peaceful. He had expected it to feel eerie, but instead, it felt familiar. The rooms were mostly empty now, and the absence of furniture made the house seem larger than he remembered. Even so, it still felt like the place where generations of his family had gathered, celebrated, argued, and grown old. For the first few hours, Brent kept himself occupied. He read through some of the old documents he had brought with him, wandered from room to room, and occasionally looked out the windows toward the barn and the woods beyond it. Each time he looked, the property appeared completely normal. The yard sat quiet beneath the night sky, and the tree line formed a dark border beyond the edge of the clearing. By 10 o'clock, he had almost convinced himself that spending the night there had been unnecessary. Nothing had happened. The house made ordinary noises, as old houses do. Floorboards creaked occasionally and the walls settled as temperatures dropped outside, but there was nothing unusual about any of it. Brent found himself relaxing as the evening wore on. The tension he had carried with him seemed to fade, replaced by the realization that perhaps the mystery was destined to remain a mystery. Eventually, he made a cup of coffee and stepped onto the back porch. The air had grown cooler and the sounds of insects filled the darkness beyond the yard. For several minutes, he simply stood there listening and looking out across the property. The stars shone above the trees and the woods appeared no different than they had on countless nights before. Then he noticed something standing near the tree line. At first, he assumed it was another trick of the shadows. The figure stood so still that it seemed almost part of the landscape itself. Yet the longer he looked, the more certain he became that someone was standing there. The shape was unmistakably human, positioned at the edge of the woods exactly where so many members of his family claimed to have seen it. Brent felt his stomach tighten. The distance made details impossible to distinguish, but there was no mistaking the silhouette. It stood motionless, neither approaching nor retreating, as though it had been there long before he stepped onto the porch. For several seconds, Brent simply stared. The warning he had heard his entire life returned immediately. If you see it, leave it alone. Standing there in the darkness, he finally understood why that advice had survived for generations. The difficult part wasn't seeing the figure. The difficult part was resisting the urge to do something about it. Every instinct urged him to walk closer, call out, or shine a flashlight toward the woods, and instead, he remained where he was. The figure remained where it was. Eventually, Brent stepped back inside the house and closed the door. For the next several hours, he found himself returning to the windows. Each time he looked outside, the woods appeared empty. Yet the certainty remained. He had seen something standing there, and unlike the brief glimpse he had caught the previous week, this time there was no doubt in his mind. Sometime after midnight, exhaustion finally caught up with him. Brent stretched out on an old couch that had not yet been removed from the house and eventually drifted into a restless sleep. A sound woke him several hours later. At first, he wasn't sure what he had heard. He sat up and listened, waiting for the noise to repeat itself. The house remained silent. Then, after several moments, he heard it again. Footsteps, not inside the house, outside. The sound moved slowly across the yard. Brent rose and walked toward the nearest window. Moonlight illuminated portions of the property, casting long shadows across the grass. At first, he saw nothing. Then movement caught his attention. Near the barn, the figure was walking across the yard. It wasn't moving quickly, nor did it seem threatening. In fact, the movement appeared almost casual. The figure crossed a section of the property with the same deliberate pace someone might use during an evening walk, paying little attention to the world around them. The figure eventually disappeared behind the barn and did not reappear. The encounter lasted less than a minute. Even so, it felt far more significant than anything he had experienced before. For the remainder of the night, Brent stayed awake. He sat near the window, occasionally looking outside, but the figure never returned. As the hours passed and the darkness gradually gave way to the first signs of morning, he found himself thinking less about what he had seen and more about the people who had seen it before him. For generations, members of his family had shared the same experience. Different decades, different circumstances, the same figure, the same uneasy certainty. By sunrise, Brent finally understood why the stories had endured for so long. They persisted because nobody had ever been able to explain them away completely. When morning arrived, he gathered his belongings and carried them to the truck. The property felt different in daylight. The tension of the night seemed distant now, replaced by the familiar appearance of an old family home preparing for its next chapter. Before leaving, Brent walked through the house one final time. Most of the rooms stood empty. Soon, strangers would fill them with their own furniture, photographs, and memories. Children who had never heard the stories would play in the yard. Families who knew nothing about the figure near the woods would gather beneath the same roof and build lives of their own. The thought brought him an unexpected sense of peace. As he stepped outside and locked the front door, he found himself looking toward the woods one last time. The tree line appeared exactly as it always had, silent, still, unremarkable. Brent climbed into his truck and started the engine. The property slowly disappeared behind him as he drove down the gravel lane toward the road. When he reached the final bend, he glanced into the rearview mirror for one last look. A figure stood near the edge of the woods. Even at that distance, Brent recognized the silhouette immediately. The figure wasn't watching the house. It wasn't watching the road. It was watching him leave. For a moment, Brent considered stopping the truck. He thought about turning around, crossing the yard, and finally doing what generations of his family had refused to do. He could walk to the tree line, step into the woods, and find out once and for all what had been standing there all these years. Then he remembered the warning. Not because he was afraid, because he finally understood it. Some mysteries survive because nobody solves them. Others survive because they were never meant to be solved in the first place. Brent kept driving. The figure remained visible in the mirror for only a few more seconds before the trees swallowed it from view. A month later, the property officially changed hands. The house belonged to someone else. The barn belonged to someone else. The woods belonged to someone else. So yet whenever family members gathered and the conversation eventually drifted back to the old property, someone would inevitably mention the stories. They would talk about the figure near the woods, the presence that appeared generation after generation, and the mystery that seemed older than the family itself. No one ever discovered what it was. As far as Brent knew, it was still there, watching from the trees just as it always had.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
You
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get your project started right with our huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, from installing a walkway to setting a post. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Moto Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral,
in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Moto Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino,
America's Social Casino.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino.
Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots.
You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's Social Casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.